John chapter 13. You guys will be begging Dale to come back. See, all this. John chapter 13, verse 5. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. And Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." And Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." And when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. You're right, for so I am. If I, then the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Lord, help me to communicate your heart and mine as well. Wrap your arms around this people and let them know how much you love them. Let your word go forth in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a huge passage of Scripture. It's huge. It has wonderful things to say to us, though, and the gospel is in here. I mean, there's just tons of stuff that's in this passage of Scripture. But I want to center on just two lines that are in this passage of Scripture. And the first line I want to center on is just this image here. I mean, it's an incredible image that's painted here. He says, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean." Now, of course, there's a word picture involved in this whole thing. It's supposed to strike an image. It's supposed to bring an image to your mind. And the idea is that these guys are sitting in the Passover meal, and they took their Saturday night bath before they went there, but they wore sandals, and they didn't have nice, you know, concrete walkways and things like that, so they had to walk on dirt roads before they got to wherever they were getting. I mean, just imagine yourself. I mean, you've gotten all dressed to go out to dinner. You throw your sandals on, and you go out, and you walk across the street, and by the time you get across the street, your feet are dirty again. The rest of you is good, you know, but your feet get dirty. That's the image. That's the image that I think Jesus wants to get across to us. Is that we get clean in Christ. But walking through this world, our feet get dirty. And our feet need to be washed once in a while. Can't help it. I kind of put it this way, you know, feet get dirty. Shoes need tying. Doggone it, you tie that shoe and you're out there walking, you're out there working or whatever, and you look down and your shoe feels loose again. It comes untied. I went and got my hair cut this week. And she didn't do as good a job as she did the previous time. You know, I hate that too. You know, why can't you get a consistent haircut? You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, it's never the same. Unless you, Randy, he says, "No problem." That's probably true. And Randy would never have to worry about helmet head, baby. That's when we got to talk about helmet head. You just shave our heads, and you'd never worry about helmet head. You see, the thing is that, I mean, have you ever gotten your, you get your hair cut, and you get it styled in just a certain way, and you look at it, I like it this length. I like it like that. But it doesn't take but a couple of days, and all of a sudden you're going, oh, man, it's like, what happened to it? And you got to go get it cut again. We have a yard full of different kinds of trees. And the problem with those trees is they all drop their leaves at different times. I mean, you know, it's not like we have the fall. Whoever planted that yard didn't think very, you know, because it's like the tree in our front yard, it loses leaves in the summertime, you know. In the fall, it doesn't lose any leaves, but the other trees around it do, you know. And then in the backyard, you know, we got trees that lose their leaves in the fall. And then we got pine trees that are throwing pine cones and pine stuff at you all the time. I mean, all this stuff is going on here. But I mean, you know, I mean, I get my backyard cleaned up. I get my yard cleaned up, and it's only good for a day. The next day, it's dirty again. You know what I'm talking about?
I got a chainsaw.
Carol, you just, I remember because we were going to have company on Friday night, and she's dusting the house and stuff like that, and she dusted off the table, and we came in the house, and the sun was shining on our table, and you looked at it, and you said, where did all that come from? And there was dust all over the table again. You get it? I mean, you know, you go dust your house today, and you come away, and you go, man, this place is clean. And the next day, you look around, and you go, I thought I cleaned this place. I mean, I got a nice new motorcycle. Cleaned it all up, and we rode it yesterday, and I was looking at that this morning, and I'm going, doggone, that thing needs to be cleaned again. Everybody say life. That is life. When you are around living things and living things, this is how it is. It never stays the same. Spiritual life is the same way. God, you have an encounter with God and you get clean. But I guarantee you, your feet will get dirty again. They need to be washed. There's a constant maintenance that's involved in spiritual life. That's the truth. Nothing stays the same. I'm together today, but what I am today in this moment is not going to be what I am tomorrow. God may speak to me a new word, or whatever was good enough for me today isn't going to be good enough for me tomorrow. And besides that, we're walking through this world and we're picking up the dirt of this world all the time, and attitudes and things like that, stuff like that, just saps onto us. Can't help it. That's what it means to live here. It's an incredible thing to be a pastor, because it happens in congregations as well, the congregations you worship, you know, you with, and you go, I thought we dealt with this, and then, whew, there's right back again. Attitudes, stuff like that, I mean, it doesn't stay the same. No congregation stays the same, because we're sinners, saved by grace, and we're walking through this world, and dirt clings to our feet. We're trusting God today. Great miracles have happened. Hallelujah. And tomorrow, we're grumbling at one another and complaining and all this kind of stuff. This has been, for me, you know, being a pastor in a church for many years, has been catching up to the idea of shepherd and sheep and all this kind of stuff. It's really kind of an interesting process for me. But sheep, you know, you hear pastors talk, and they'll say things like, well, sheep bite, you know, and you got to watch out because sheep bite. Well, pastors bite too, you know. They take big old sticks, and they beat their sheep sometime, you know. And so, I mean, it works two ways, you know. You got good pastors that are in a good place. You got great congregations that are in a great place, but we're all human, and we all do that kind of a stuff. And I came back to listening to just a lot of complaints and kind of a lot of grumbling. I was aware what was going on, and was talking with Dale, and he says, man, that's just life. You know, I mean, the shepherd goes away for 3 weeks, and you come back, and you're aware that people are kind of grumbling. Now, maybe it's because I've been gone for 3 weeks, you know? I don't really know, but it's just feet get dirty. Every once in a while, we need to get our feet washed. Next week, we're starting a new adventure with the membership class again. You know, we're doing this membership thing. And again, the grumbling from that just keeps coming to the surface. It's just like, what are we doing this for? And that whole thing. Let me clarify a couple of things. One thing is that I'm really getting a complex here. I'm getting a complex. Dale actually shows up on the scene, and I love Dale. I'm going to do a class that's 16 weeks long, 4 hours a night. For 16 weeks, it's going to cost you $300, and at the end of that time, if you want to be certified, it's going to cost you $100 more. 16 weeks, 4 hour class, once a week, going to cost you $300. At nighttime, you know, I mean, all of that stuff. During football season. People are signing up for this class. People are signing up for this class. They're attending this class. I didn't hear any grumbling up there. I did hear a little bit. That's kind of a long class. But you stuck it out and you were there. Pastor Steve comes along. We're going to do a membership class to help you become more acquainted with the church. You know, 4 classes. We're quitting the church. It's not costing you anything. I should have charged $300. That's what I should have done. This class is going to be a 4-hour class. It's going to be 20 weeks, and I'm going to charge you $400 a person. Maybe, where do I sign? Here's my checkbook. Yeah, come on. Membership, there are two issues that we've had a lot of change. I understand. We've had a lot of change here. Part of a denomination now. And that's not always the easy thing. I mean, you know, why did I do this? And Gary and I have had many conversations, and I've had many conversations with people. If I was to sit down and to tell you the advantages versus the disadvantages of being part of a denomination, I mean, honestly, probably the disadvantages would be like way higher than any of the advantages. The logical reasons for acting like this and doing this, especially in a non-church and non-organization culture, that's where we've come to. We really are independent in our Western culture. And we value independent churches. We value our independence. We value independent churches. Nobody's moving towards denominations. Everybody's moving away from them. I know that. This is not a journey that I would have undertaken out of logic or reason. But I'm going to say this again, and with all of my heart, the reason that I moved in that direction and led our church in that direction is God put it in front of me and said, this is what I want for you. No other reason. I mean, when the bottom line is, when it all comes out, I don't care if it's good for us or not good for us, if I can explain advantages or not advantages, I don't have all the ins and the outs. It's the same idea that of that God calls anybody to do anything. I mean, you may not know until the end what any advantages were. I just know that this is what God put in front of me and said, this is what I want for you. That's it for me. But that has nothing to do with membership. Membership, that whole idea of membership in a church has been growing in me ever since we started North County Christian Fellowship. I just didn't know exactly how to go about it, and I didn't get a lot of support from leadership when it came to, they just weren't ready. Really? really is kind of funny. I mean, when you think about it, there's a church that says, if you want to be a member here, you know, just fill out a card and we'll put you in our directory and you're a member. We don't ask anything about what you believe. We don't know for sure even if we've communicated anything about what you believe or, you know, how can membership really mean anything in that context? And it hasn't. People come and go. Met with a couple the other night, and I talked to them, and they were asking me questions again about membership, you know, and this whole deal. And Dale, Pastor Dale, and I have had lots of conversations about it, you know, and we were kind of crying the other day because we, every once in a while, you know, pastors get down, you know, you cry, and I'm aware of the grumbling and stuff, and so we're crying on one another's shoulders. And he said, honestly, he said, I wouldn't have done it this way. Dale said that, you know, I wouldn't have done it this way. He says, you're the pastor, but he said, but I wouldn't have done it this way. I'd have just taken one Sunday and just said, you know, just give it a little bit of information and said, if you all want to be members, just stand up and just graft everybody in. And I looked at him, Gary was there, I looked at him and I said, I suppose you could do it that way. I said, but to me, that does not feel like integrity. And it's not the way that I function. My kids say it's stubbornness. But and Randy Kennedy probably would agree with him. But the reality is, to me, that does not feel like integrity. I merely want the opportunity to sit down with people and explain to them our core values, why we do things the way we do, to make sure that you've heard what this church believes and what it stands for, to make sure that you understand God's plan for discipleship, at least to have had an opportunity to hear that, and to learn a little bit or to hear a little bit about the denomination and why, what advantage or what disadvantage or what I see in terms of what God is doing with this denomination and our role might be in it. I can't do that in 45 minutes. But that's integrity to me. And at the end of that day, at the end of that process, then say to you, now I've given my best shot at making sure you understand this. Do you want to be a member of that? And you can say yes or no. It's up to you. This isn't going to happen overnight. My heart is to, with integrity, if we're going to have membership, then let's do it. Let's do it right. Don't just, you want to be a member? Sure, sign up on the dotted line. You have no idea what you're really part of. It doesn't feel right to me. It's just not right. If we're going to do a membership, then we ought to do it. Take a little time and invest something into it so that it means something. I've done membership classes now on Sunday nights, and now we're going to do another time slot I chose so that it didn't cost you so much time in terms of changing. So I've chosen to do it on Sunday morning. So starting next Sunday for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be doing a membership class, doing this membership class over in the teen room during our 8:30 service. Pastor Dale's going to be here running the service like normal, probably have a great group of people, or maybe nobody in here, I don't know, or maybe I'll have a great group of people, or I'll have nobody, I don't know. But we're going to do that during the 8:30, like a Sunday school class, except it's going to be so that you don't have to, you know, it's not like you have to take an extra evening out or anything. I'm doing whatever I know how to do to come alongside of you and meet you where you are. I heard somebody, you know, somebody was grumbling and complaining because they said, well, I heard you can't be in leadership if you're not a member. Today, it's going to stay exactly like it is because I realize that not everybody can come to these classes. That's not going to happen. But eventually, a year down the road or a year and a half or two, whenever we feel like we've given everybody an opportunity to kind of face this journey, you know, then that may be the case, and that only makes sense. What in the heck? Just anybody should be in leadership? Just because I want to be in leadership. I believe in Buddha, but I want to be in leadership. I've never swung a hammer, but I want to teach in Randy's class about how to, you know. I mean, it's like, come on, really. So eventually we'll get there, but that's not going to happen overnight. It's not like we're going to be kicking people off the sound console, Natalie off the sound console, or Gary hasn't even attended all of them, so I'm going to kick him out now because he's not a member. So membership class is merely this. It's not a chance to control. You guys ought to know me. You've known me for 30-something years. You know, most of you. I'm not into controlling people. I don't really want authority over people's lives. It's not about that at all. Not about indoctrination either. Nobody's trying to indoctrinate you. That's not enough time to indoctrinate you, by the way. But an opportunity to explain our core values. At least give you a chance to say, oh, well, I've been exposed to them. Our core values. And that, this is stuff that doesn't happen on Sunday morning. Actually, I can't go through this stuff on Sunday morning. You could sit here for 5 years and maybe not even know that I believe in the Trinity or that this church is a Trinitarian. I had one guy that's been coming to our church for probably 10 years, and he heard somebody speak in tongues. He was coming on and off, you know, he wasn't real. Heard somebody speak in tongues. He said, I didn't know you guys did that there. And he's out of here. But I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? Is that Sunday morning isn't the place where we sit down, we go systematically through those kind of things. You might get exposed to some of them, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of things that you could just kind of read into it. So I want a chance to explain our core beliefs and values, the meaning of true Christian discipleship, you know, the purpose and the value of membership and what it means to be part of a denomination. So you can make an informed decision. At the end of that day, then you can say, well, that's not for me, or it is, but at least you've had a chance to be exposed to that. So, that's my heart. I'm hoping I'm just spiritually washing your feet right now. I'm hoping. So I'm not pointing any fingers. Change is hard. It really is hard for people. We've had a lot of changes here. But where living things are, change takes place. You got to mow the lawn once in a while. It never stays the same. You get the lawn just perfect, you know, and you're going, man, that is a beautiful yard. And a week later, you come back and it doesn't look the same. Weeds come back. You work with plants all the time, Susan. You know that, you know. It changes. And it's the same thing with congregational life and congregations and that stuff. Change takes place. So we go. So I'm passing around clipboards again. This wasn't a speech to get you to sign up for the membership class. It was just once again to explain it and sort of quell, you know, kind of the complaint. Any questions about that, by the way? Yes? Well, they need to? It'll be offered once we get everybody who wants to go through this, and then when new people come, we'll probably offer that class twice a year kind of thing, you know. So, yeah. Do you have a question? What's he asking here? It's coming. It's coming back. It's nice to have him back in our congregation, by the way. And I don't know if you guys remember him. Should I say anything, or can I say? You know, he's autistic, and been part of our church family before, and they've come back. And I know that for his parents were thinking, will you guys accept us? And I said, for all of you, yes, they will. Yes, they will. All right, any other questions about this? Any other grumblings? Yes. Grumble now at me, Dennis. If you're already signed up, you know, come and join me next week at 8:30 in the morning, and we'll go through this together. If you can only make two of the classes and you miss one, you know, next time I do it around, you just need to make up that one. Yeah. What do you think? We actually have little beanies that we're having being made right now. And so when you've been through the membership class, you're going to get the beanie. And then when the time comes, I'm going to say, okay, now it's time to don the beanies. And people who don't wear their beanies will not be allowed in the door here. That's right. I'm probably going to hear about this now. The people, see, I heard him say it. You know, anybody can come to this church at any time, members or not. They can be members. I mean, that's always the case. You know, come as you are. We hope you don't stay you as you are. You know, but it's the same thing. It's just like this is a Christian church. We want people to accept Christ in here. So we do check them at the door to see if they've accepted Christ yet? No, we take them from no matter where, you know, no matter what their step. Anybody can come to this place. And we hope that they'll hear the gospel and make some discipleship decisions about their life in Christ. And we want to further that with them. And membership really is just a step to do that. It's just a way, it's a tool to help us disciple people more into a relationship with Christ, not a way to exclude people. That's not what it's about. It's not about controlling or excluding anyone. It's really about helping people take fresh steps in God. That's all there is to it. All right. So you have that clipboard. We're signing that up and doing that. And then foundations class. I'm doing another foundations class. We've been doing Alpha. And I just wanted to say this about foundations class. And this is in the context of this whole washing the feet thing. Let me just share with you. I used to work with Curcio. Curcio was a ministry that had 13 talks during that weekend. And I participated in spiritual direction in those weekends. They were all the same, and yet they were all different. When my attitude was right, I never walked away from a Curcio without hearing something fresh and something new from God. Every time I've been to Alpha, and I've been a lot of our Alphas that we've done here, almost every one that we've done, I've been part of our Alpha. Every time I hear either Nikki Gumbel talk or I hear the Alpha stuff, I'm always coming away with something new. The reality is, foundations class, Alpha, Curcio, those kinds of events, even though you've been through them, there's nothing wrong with going back and doing this kind of stuff again. Foundations is really about what Jesus said this. He said, him who has, more shall be given. A perfect example of that is what's going on in Dale's class, Pastor Dale's class right now on counseling. Delia, are you in that class right now? Are you in the previous one? He gives you so much information in those classes. You cannot possibly remember everything that he taught you there. But you'll come away with one or two things. If you get one or two things from him and he sets you on a course, points you in a direction where to find answers, you graft those into your life, you've really accomplished something. And then as you continue to focus on that subject material, whether you go to another counseling class or whether you go to his counseling class again, I mean, the next time you'll get maybe two or three more things, and it'll add to that. And the next time it'll add to it. And you'll find your understanding and things are just expanding and growing in those areas. I've had several New Testament classes. When I was in the master's program, a lot of the material that I had before. But because I'd been in that class before, or in those classes, or been exposed to that material before, the material that I was hearing now made so much more sense, and it just began to expand a little bit more. And when Randy first started learning the electrical business, I can guarantee you a lot of this stuff went over his head. But you grasped two or three, and when you started working in the field, or when you heard somebody explain it again, because you learned those one or two things, all of a sudden, now you could add three or four onto that, and it began to expand and learn. You grew like that. Growing in Christ is the same way. Him who has, more shall be given. Foundations class, courses in basic Christianity are really just like that. In fact, the problem is, if I had time to go into this whole consumer thing that's happened to the church, because Jesus never compared the church to a shopping mall or to a restaurant. Shepherd and sheep, hospitals, but never something where you're a consumer that's purchasing something. And in fact, the one time that he ran into that in the church, what did he do? He threw them out. And yet we live in a culture now that's how we approach church. We're consumers that are looking for goods. And so you hear people say, well, they don't offer anything for this group. They don't offer anything for here. They don't have my stuff on the menu and that whole thing. Anything any church has to offer, we only have one thing to offer. God. Anything else we offer is just fluff. Or what Paul calls wood, hay, and stubble. And there are so many Christians, there's so many people whose lives are built on the wood, hay, and stubble. They come to church because they want relationships and friends. That's great. But if we never get you past that to God, you've missed the whole thing. Relationships and friends will never hold you together in the world that we live in. Only God can do that. God, the ancient church, they didn't know anything about breaking up into different age groups and having youth ministry and this ministry and that ministry. They didn't know anything about that. They didn't have fancy music. They met in caves. Picture the Sermon on the Mount. Picture the Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And him standing there going, well, I don't have a microphone, or I don't have a worship team here to play, to get people in the mood so I can teach them. And yet, we're still reading 2,000 years down the road, that Sermon on the Mount. We're still reading the words and still applying them to our lives. We got to turn some things around. Foundations class is really kind of like this. Remember that saying, give a man a fish, and you fed him for a day. Teach him how to fish, and you fed him for a lifetime. And foundations classes or things like that, those types of things, are really about that. They're giving you a network. They're giving you that underpinning stuff so that we're not getting to application yet. We're getting to the stuff that's underneath so that when you're walking through life and you need the application, you've got something to pull from. The Apostles' Creed, that's what that is. It's the foundations, it's the basic beliefs. And those basic beliefs are not just doctrines that we believe, they are the foundation stuff so that when we get to application, real problems in real life, a kid who has taken too many pills or someone who's been in the car accident, they're breathing their life, their last breath. That when you get there, you have something to offer. Starting Sunday night, next week, Sunday morning, membership class. Starting next week, Sunday night, I'm doing foundations. I'm doing that in place of Alpha. There's no meal during the foundations class, but we're covering through the Apostles' Creed, and we're covering the same material, but in a different way. If you've been through Alpha, you might want to attend that class. If you haven't attended a foundations class for a long time, you'd like to know, what does basic Christianity teach? I need a rehearsal on that. I need to rebuild the foundation again. I need to be reminded. Come and join me next Sunday night. Now, all this stuff sounds like just one big announcement, but the reality is that all of this is part of a message we're living out. Something's happening in this community. The seeds for it have been planted and being planted for many years, but right now it's blowing my mind to begin to see this happening. And we may not even be right on the forefront of it, or maybe we are. I don't really know what God's doing with that, but I do know one thing, that something's happening, and it's great. In Dale's class, 30-something people this time, 30-something people last time, people from a variety of churches. Our counseling center isn't going to be our counseling center, by the way. It's going to be this community's counseling center. Baptists, ABC Church. You can name it. Churches that have kind of been isolated, and it's like kind of interest, sit in there, kind of their own thing, are now coming out of that, and we're working together. Gus, Pastor Gus over there, he's the associate pastor there with Pastor Mike, leads a men's ministry called Band of Brothers. Ed Bedrosian from the Heritage Church that I just partnered with, and several other pastors are interested in this. He's flung wide the door and said, and I went to him and I said, if you're inviting us to come, I said, I feel a call from God to invite our men to show up. I think this could be huge for this community of Christian men, regardless of what church, gathered together, worshiped together, and studied together. That could change a community. It's not just in one church now. It's crossing those lines. And non-Christian people are seeing people come outside of their churches and come together to worship together and to touch one another's lives in a real way, not just for a conference or some one big, this is huge. Counseling ministry is happening that way. Something's happening. And because we went to them and we opened that door, they now said, we heard you have a harvest festival. What can we do to come alongside of you and help you with that? That's incredible. I'm telling you, we have. There's a door that's standing right inside, open in front of us, and we better walk through it. Starting September 19th, men, I just want to, if you can set aside 1 hour from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the morning, if you don't have to be to work at that time, First Baptist Church, I'm going to be there. Because that's the door we got to walk through. It's called Band of Brothers. I think Gary and I have been invited. We're going to go over and speak to their elders, actually, about Harvest Festival. That in itself, could you understand what's happening here? These are huge miracles. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
So here we are. We're standing in an incredible time. It's almost like that, those words in the book of Revelation where God speaks to the church and the Philippian church, I think, where he says to them, he says, I have set before you an open door. And I feel like that. I feel like we're standing on the edge. I just want you to know these are great times. So as you're walking through life, you've been bathed, you've been clothed, you love God, you've been walking with God. But remember, the dirt sticks to our feet. And once in a while, we need to get our feet washed. And we wash them off and we go, oh gosh, I didn't realize I was grumbling. I didn't realize I was complaining. I didn't realize I was, you know, I didn't even, just let's deal with things the way Christians ought to deal with them. Trust one another and walk together. That's the most powerful image in that passage of Scripture. And then the other one preaches the gospel to us, which is where we're going to have communion here and go home. But I know I don't wave my arms as much as Pastor Dale does when he preaches, right? I haven't even worked up a sweat here, so. But I'm good. The other one is this. Jesus looks at Peter. Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. We've got a whole world of people out there that are saying that. They may not say it verbally, but they're saying that. Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. It's an interesting thing. Probably a disease model probably works really well. And if the scripture had been written in our time, I think Paul probably would have included an idea of the disease model. It's there actually, but he calls it death. We miss it though sometimes. See, when we come into this world, we are born into this world with a disease. The disease is called sin with a capital S. Problem is, we get stuck with the symptoms. We get stuck on the symptoms, sins. But even if sins aren't there, sin is with a capital S. That brokenness, that thing inside of us, what the scripture calls death. That's what we're born into this world with. We're born into this world enemies of God. We're born on the wrong side. God loves us. So God has provided the cure, the inoculation cure. It's called the blood of Jesus Christ. And every church in the community that's proclaiming Christ, I mean, it's like that's what we are. We're little hospitals that are handing out. It's like I go, wherever I go now, I'm seeing signs saying, flu vaccine. You know, I mean, we should put on the front of the church in big signs, sin vaccine. Get your sin vaccine right here. I mean, that's really what it is. It's to accept Christ is just that. It's him saying to Peter, I'm going to wash your feet. Well, I'm not taking that vaccine. I don't want that. If you don't want it, it's free. I'm not even charging you anything, but if you don't want it, you have no part with me. Well, I don't want it. See, that's what we're offering. We're not offering a set of rules and regulations to live your life by. We get stuck there and we misunderstand. What we're really offering is a vaccine against sin with a capital S. Something that breaks that which we came into this world under the power of. That's the gospel. It's right there. A And our choice is, will we accept the vaccine or will we not? Not whether we'll live a perfect life, not whether we'll, keep the Ten Commandments. You can't do that anyway. It's whether we'll accept the vaccine. And the vaccine has a way of working in us. It transforms our life. What do you think we've been reading about in the Gospels? Which brings us to the communion table. Our ushers will come. I know, I just rambled today, but I've been gone for 3 weeks and I got to air it out. Next week I'll teach. It'll be in the Gospel of Mark. But we had communion today. And yes, I'm not asking for questions anymore, but so let's stand together. So what's the image of communion now? You see, here it is, what's happening in communion. And so with that context, communion is that place where we can live out once again, I receive the cure. This is the vaccine. It's in symbol form. The bread itself isn't the vaccine, the cup itself. But what it stands for, what's behind it, what's underneath it, what's in and through it when we proclaim the name of the Lord, is the vaccine. It's the cure for sin. It doesn't do away with all the symptoms overnight. The symptoms are the sins. But what it does is it plants in us the life of God. It begins to grow. The biblical word of that in the Gospels is the kingdom of God, right? The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which when it's planted, grows to be the greatest of all garden herbs. That's it. And your decision and my decision is, do I want the cure? So when I come up and I take the bread, I'm saying, I want the cure. It's that simple. Let me remind you, on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take this and eat it. This is my body, which is broken for you. And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave that cup to his disciples, and he said, drink from this, each one of you. This is my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This is the cure, oh God. This is the cure that you said. This is where you wash our feet. We'd rather you not, but if it's the only way, we would say like the Apostle Peter, Lord, then not only our feet, but our head and our hands, our whole being. We want the cure. Thank you, Lord, for providing it. Bless your people as they come today. And draw us close to you in Jesus' name.